verse number 20. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find that a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Alright? Verse number 20. How many I's are in this verse here?
Three.
Three, that's right.
And there's a me.
There's a me, okay. What's the difference? We talked about it a little bit last week, but who's the first I and who's the second I?
That's a sin, his natural man.
All right. If I do that which I would not, if I do, what's the first I? If I do.
It's the old man.
The old man. Do that which I would not.
It's the new man.
The new man doesn't really want to do it. It's no more I to do it than is the new man, but the old man, the sin that dwelleth in me. Is that sin the fruit or the root?
Of
the root, and right, it produces the fruit. That's right, but the root is there. The question asked. That's something. Go ahead.
Greetings from Wisconsin. I am so glad I can be in Bible study tonight. I want to greet all of you, and I'm so glad that we are part of a great church Bible study in Christ the Kosick.
Let's wave to Wendy Kosick in Weber, Wisconsin. Thank you, Rick and Wendy. Appreciate your contact us. All right, so as this battle. Now, was Paul a greater sinner than other people of his day?
He did say he was the chief of sinners.
Yes.
Of whom I am chief.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not sure if there's more than one chief. It might be.
Was he being humble when he said that, or was that true?
He remembered who he was.
All right.
Before Christ saved him.
He really was bad, wasn't he? Got to kill Christians and imprison Christians and so on and so forth.
All of us are.
Pardon me?
All of us are.
All of us. Yeah, all of us are.
We're
Jesus. We're Jesus. Yeah, Bob?
He felt like he was a poor sinner. He felt
yes.
That way.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's good or bad.
Had he committed? Yes, Anna.
I would say that it's better than thinking that you're sinlessly perfect.
Yes, that's true. He was honest with himself and... So this sin that dwelleth in me, that nature, what do the holiness people say about the sin nature? What's their teaching? Pastor Dan.
Well, they believe in sinless perfection.
All right.
And they also, some of the groups would believe that loss of salvation would be possible.
Mm-hmm.
But they believe it could be sinless and perfect.
Ultimate
sanctification on the earth.
Mm-hmm. And so, in effect, they either say the sin nature is nullified or maybe disappears some way. Is that true or false?
False.
That's false. Is it? Yeah, Tammy, has something?
No.
Oh. Okay. That's good. All right, so Paul was, I think, honest, and he was telling the people at the Church of Rome about the problem that he has, and he's got these two natures inside of him, the new and the old, the Holy Spirit of God and the old flesh. Then in verse 21, he finds a law. What type of a law do you think he means here?
The law of sin and death.
Probably the law of sin and death. When I would do good, what does would mean?
Want to.
When I want to do good, what's true?
Evil is
right there present. So there's a battle between the good and the evil, between the old nature and the new nature. Yvonne?
I don't think he spends every day like this.
No?
I think he just had a bad day. And I think he's trying to teach the people about the two natures and themselves.
Aren't you glad he wrote this, though, for
yes.
Our edification and understanding? Sin, the Gloria Anna?
Verse 24, I mean, I guess that's a little ahead where we are now, but he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So it seemed like it was a constant struggle.
Yes, constant struggle. He was very honest about it, the wickedness that was there. He had lots of bad, evil companions around him, and fun.
Well, was always this way, every day of his life.
Well, do you think he left his sin nature apart somewhere?
No, he had a sin nature, but this is horrible. This is constant, never, no victory.
Well, it doesn't mean he's always this way, he's the saint.
Well, that's so, what I said, I don't think he's always this way. He has moments.
The battle is at Tammy and then Barbara.
Well, I think some of the things that we've tried a couple times in the past about James, about temptation, mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like, and then also in 1 John, if we confess our sins. Now, I'm sure he was confessing his sins all the time, mm-hmm. but to say, you know, that he didn't have temptation, and to not, when he's sharing this with the Romans, they're being edified, they understand what's going on in the life mm-hmm. of the Christian.
Right.
Rather than thinking that it's something that it's not.
Yes.
And
told him like it was. Yes, perfect.
If we didn't have Romans 7, we wouldn't have Romans 8.
That's true. The deliverance and the victory mm-hmm. is there. And so it's good to see, and this certainly caused the position of John MacArthur and others that teach that we just have one nature. It's a false thing. It's a false thing. He's got definitely two eyes and two natures. There it is. And we just have to be realized that's the truth. And so evil is present with me. He realizes evil is right there. When I want to do what that was just good, there's a temptation of evil. Then in verse 22, what is his desire, really?
He delights in the law of God.
After the flesh or the new nature?
Well,
after the
nature,
flesh,
inward man.
After the inward man. That's right. He delights in the law of God. And so his desires to, concerning the law of God, the truth, the scriptures, he's glad to do it, but he's got the battle many times that fights his desire. All right, let's read verse 23, 24, and 25 together. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Why verse 23? What does Paul see in this verse? What does Paul see in this verse?
Another law.
Another law. His members. What type of members would those be?
It's his body.
His body. Or his body, whether his hands, his mind, his thoughts. And what is that other law doing? What is that law doing?
Warring against his
warring.
That's a law of sin and death.
All right. It's warring against the law of my mind. So this is the old nature that's warring and battling against the law of the mind. There's a very strong contention, is there not? And what is the result of the fruit of this war? At least when he's not in victorious nature. What's the fruit of it? What's the result of it?
Makes him
wretched.
All right. Makes him bring into captivity the law of sin, which is in my memory. So this battle, warring against him, and so this is, he's in bad shape, and the victory is not there. If Pastor Danny gets it, okay. So bring into the law, of, which is in my members, the law of sin. And then what does he call himself in verse 24?
Wretched man.
What does wretched mean?
Poor.
Who is it?
Poor
and horrible,
miserable.
And terrible and miserable, all right. Certainly not a good title, but he recognizes honestly.
He's one of the baskets of deplorable.
Well,
deplorable.
Yes, you'd be honest about it. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
And John Newton, his hymn, Amazing Grace.
Yes.
One of his stanzas talks about a wretch.
Yes, that's
like
very good.
Me.
Wretch like me.
Yes, saved a wretch like me. I think some of the new hymnals alter their words, if I'm not mistaken. Some of the other words in some of the hymns. I don't know whether that's one of them, but it changes something just a little bit more. But he was an honest man, a wretched man. As long as you recognize you have an enemy, and your flesh is an enemy, that's warring against the Spirit of God and your new nature, you'll be able to fight it. But if people never recognize there's an enemy, they don't even know about it, then they don't understand what's happening to them. So he's at least calling a spade, and he's specifying the problem. And he's asked the question about deliverance from the body of this death.
It's interesting. He's talking about body.
So
he's referring to his flesh.
That's right, his flesh. And it's death. And the old sinful nature, where did Paul get that sinful nature?
From Adam.
From Adam, all the way from Adam. When he sinned, he passed it on the whole human race. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or email. Glad to hear from you. Say hello. Comment or just greet to us. Then, what is the answer to what is it for delivery? Oh, excuse me, Barbara, you have something?
I find it interesting that he says this death, which is it's not just dying, not just death, it's a specific.
Yes, this death. And of course, this having the sin nature overcome the new man, that's a death. It's because it's not life, it's a dead hand of the evil nature, the old man taking over from the new man. So this death, yeah, that's good. What's the answer to who's going to deliver him in verse 25? Does he have an answer? The Lord Jesus Christ. The only one can deliver. And then he has the true nature specified. What are the true natures given in verse 25?
Mind and flesh.
The mind and the flesh. What does the mind do? What does he really want to do in the mind?
Serve
the law of God. And what does the flesh do?
The law of sin.
Now, do you think that everybody that's born again and saved always wants to serve the Lord?
No.
No, there's lots of things that interfere with that. It should want to serve the Lord. They should want to rejoice in the things of the Lord. But Paul thanked the Lord for the mind, he serves, and that's a continuous action, the law of God, the flesh, the law of sin. Can the flesh, as he said earlier, in me that is in my flesh, what, dwelleth?
No
good thing. And of course, that idea of the flesh being no good thing and evil is not held by a lot of people. They say, well, the flesh is fine, everything's perfect, and don't worry. But the scriptures are very clear that the old nature is the sin nature, and it's bad, it's not good. Any other comments on chapter 7 before we move on to chapter 8? All right, let's read Romans 8, 1 through 3, if we can. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Right, no condemnation now. What's the significance of that word now?
Present.
Present. And once a person is saved, that's true, isn't it? There's now no. What does condemnation mean?
Judgment.
All right, judgment. There's no judgment. To which people is there no judgment, no condemnation?
In Christ Jesus.
How do people get in Christ Jesus? How does that happen?
By faith.
By genuine faith in the Lord Jesus, trusting Him as their Savior. That makes us in Christ Jesus. That's a phrase that's used, is it not? Those different, for the genuine Christians, in Christ. Now, there's no condemnation just to the ones that are in Christ who do what or who do not what?
Would walk
not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, if you walk after the Spirit, there's condemnation for the sin. There's no judgment, condemnation for hell, but there's judgment for walking after the flesh, is there not? But walking after the Spirit, no condemnation. And there's no final condemnation. There's no condemnation sending us to hell, the lake of fire, those who are in Christ, trusting Christ as our Savior and Redeemer. But there is judgment if we walk after the flesh, not after the Spirit.
Coming back, I was saying about Paul. he had a tender conscience because he could tell when just a little bit of him was going for the old nature.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Some people just become so deadened or so want the evil, the sin, that they push it, all the good nature, all the Holy Spirit, they push them out.
Mm-hmm.
And they just go along with their flesh.
And the non-Christian, the unsaved Christian, that's all they do is eat, drink, and get married.
Unsaved Christian?
The unsaved person. So it's a non-Christian. Okay. I mean, the non-Christian, that's all they do is drinking and alcohol and sex and corruption of all kinds, swearing and killing people. But the believer, yes, he has a tender conscience, Paul did, very definitely so. And he says, in Christ, there's no condemnation. And then they're in Christ Jesus. That's a very good place to be in. Now, once you're in Christ, can you ever get out of Christ? No. Can you get out of fellowship with Christ?
Yes.
Get out of fellowship, but you can't get out of the relationship in Christ for eternity. And it says in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's a verse that is clear as far as I give them eternal life. And many of our churches and denominations and Christians deny that. They say, no, you can lose your salvation. You don't have eternal life. Sin breaks the fellowship. It breaks fellowship, but it doesn't break the relationship of eternal life to being in Christ Jesus. All right, then in verse number 2 of Romans 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. How would you define the Spirit of life? What life is that, Barbara?
We're dead in our trespasses and sins.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, we are given life.
All right.
Because there can only be life in
life. Life, eternal life. Spirit of life, not death, but life. In Christ Jesus, there is life. He is life, isn't he? And John 14:6, he says what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the life. Law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made Paul what?
Free from the law of sin.
In other words, what does free mean?
Not a slave
any longer, all right? All right. And so, victory can be Paul's, victory can be any Christian's in Christ Jesus, by relying upon the Spirit of God, Spirit of life, and the Lord Jesus Christ, to be free. Now, remember in the book of Galatians, what was their cardinal sin? What did they want to do in the Galatians?
Go back under the law.
And what did Paul, what did he say to these Christians who want to go back under the law?
Foolish Galatians.
Bruce Wish, in fact, Dan?
Well, you know, Phil's question, but we wish you believe a lie and begun in grace, shall you continue your works? I mean, that's paraphrasing. Tammy, you want to say it better?
Having begun in the Spirit,
okay,
are you now made perfect?
That's much better.
Flesh.
Much
yes,
better.
That's right. So it was a terrible thing. They wanted to go right back under the law, and the law said that we're free. Christ hath made you free, and what does Paul talk, what is the term that Paul refers to the law as? What does he call the law? What are some of the terms used for the law of Moses?
The law of the Spirit of life in Christ.
What does he say about that law? We're dead to the law and no longer under the law. Remember all these things?
It was good.
It was good.
He called it good.
Yes. But it doesn't have any...
But it became sin to him.
Yes. And as he says that we're not under the law, any part of the law of Moses, we're under the Lord Jesus Christ. So, free from the law of sin and death. And then...
After the law came, he died.
After the law?
He was alive
after the law, yes.
He was alive without the law once, mm-hmm. but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. 7:9.
Yes. 7 verse 9, that's good. Then in verse 3, what the law could not do. What could not the law do? And what can the Lord Jesus do in verse 3?
Well, I could change it and free him from the flesh.
All right, it could not save his soul, could it? It was the law of God. It had to be through God's grace, even the Old Testament, through faith. Do not change the heart. What does it mean, weak through the flesh? The law was weak through the flesh.
Because it was there to demonstrate the sinfulness of man.
All right.
It gave no empowerment.
What? It
gave no empowerment.
No empowerment. And
and he talked about how when there was the commandment, and he just wanted to, his flesh wanted to send more with the commandment. But when the commandment wasn't there, then he wasn't necessarily thinking about it, so he didn't necessarily. I'm not putting in a very good explanation, but I'm trying to give it a summary.
But it was weak through the flesh. In other words, the law of Moses. Read the Ten Commandments or any part of the law of Moses, it was do. And in Christ, it's a finished work. Christ paid the price for us, and we trust him for what he's done for us. And we have not donated into by our works to be saved. It's his work at the cross of Calvary that makes people able to be saved if they will trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the law was weak through the flesh. Weak. Dr. Schaefer used an illustration, the founder of Dallas Seminary, my teacher for 4 years there, and he likes the illustration we've said many times before to our church, but you take a roast of meat, whether it's beef or whatever, chicken, turkey, whatever it is, you cook it and cook it and cook it and cook it, and that becomes less strong. And so, if it's well cooked, you put a fork into that roast, and you pull it up, and maybe it falls apart because it's overdone. So it's weak through the flesh. That was his illustration. The law was weak through the flesh. You can't trust it, and it was dependent upon the flesh, doing all these things, right things, but it's weak through the flesh. So what was the remedy that God gave in verse 3? He sent his own son away. I notice in the likeness of sinful flesh. Two words for likeness, homo and homoi. What's the difference? Homo, H-O-M-O, and homoi, H-O-M-O-I.
And I noticed
similar. Similar. Homoi.
Homoi is similar.
And homo is the same.
Homo is exactly the same. Anna?
It's already been said now.
It's already been said, okay. That's exactly right. This is likeness, not identity, but it's likeness. He was the God-man, perfect God, perfect man, but he took upon us a sinful, not a sinful nature, but it took on our nature, was without sin, no sin in him, no sin. It was not the nature of Adam, because he didn't have any of Adam's blood or any Adam's line, but the likeness of sinful flesh. Why did God send his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, do you think?
So he could be a substitute for us.
All right, so he could be a substitute. If he were perfect God and not perfect man, would he be able to be a substitute?
No.
Would he be able to die?
No.
No, yes. God could not die, that's right. But if perfect human, perfect deity, perfect humanity, he was able to die and suffer. So that's what God proposed. Save the people that trust in his son. He sent his son, his own son. Now, was that an easy thing for the father to do, to send his son, do you think?
No.
Was it easy for the son to go?
No.
No, it wasn't. And what was the motivation that the father sent the son? Love. John 3:16. For God
so loved
the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish and have everlasting life. Great motivation was God's love for sinners. And the Son was willing and he came. The likeness of sinful flesh. Not the same as, but likeness. Only homoi, but not homo. All right. And then for sin, what does that mean? Condemn sin in the flesh. What does that mean? For sin, condemn sin in the flesh.
That's the concept of sin offering.
Like the sin offering, all right.
And in order to be the offering,
why did the Lord Jesus die on the cross?
To become sin and be sin.
All right.
To carry my sin.
To carry the sins of the world. Who his own self, 2 Peter 2:24, bear our sins in his own body on the tree. And we, being dead to sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Who bear our sins. He came to condemn sin in the flesh and carry the sins. Now, how many sins did he bear when he died?
The whole world.
Sins of the whole world. Elect, non-elect, everybody. Past, present, and future. The sins of the whole world. Did it start with Adam's sin? Yes, Adam's sin, Eve's sin, right from the beginning to the very last man, woman, or child ever born on this earth. Condemned, judged sin in the flesh. Then let's read verse 4, 5, and 6 together. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Right, verse 4. He condemns sin in the flesh for what purpose, what goal? What's this that go back to in verse 4?
So that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us.
The righteousness of the law. Could any man in the Old Testament fulfill all the law?
No.
The Lord Jesus was the only one that could. Barbara?
You said, what does that refer back to?
Mm-hmm.
It would be the sin that was condemned.
Okay, and what is the meaning of the word that? What is the meaning there? How would you elucidate?
In order that,
that's right, or so that. So that the righteousness of the law.
And for the purpose of.
For the purpose, all right, for the purpose of the righteousness of the law. In other words, it says earlier, the law was good in chapter 7, and he said, did I take the thing that was good, made death unto me, God forbid. But the law was nothing wrong with the law, but could man keep the law alone?
No.
Couldn't do it. And so the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now, which type of people is it fulfilled completely in verse number 4? Righteousness.
Walk after the Spirit.
Walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. What's the difference between actual righteousness and declared or other righteousness? Actual versus positional. What's it, Tammy?
Oh,
really?
Well, actually, you're talking about before men.
Uh-huh.
But positional is righteous in Christ's righteousness.
All right.
And through what he's done for us, God sees us.
All right, a person that's genuinely saved, he's trusted the Lord Jesus genuinely as the Savior, he has the righteousness of God, positional righteousness, and then he should try to walk after the Lord and have practical righteousness as well, and the right practical righteousness, but that the righteousness of the Lord might be fulfilled us. Who walk how?
After the flesh, after the Spirit.
So the practical righteousness would be those who walk after the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit able to do with genuine Christians? What is the Holy Spirit able to do in the lives of genuine Christians?
Conform the image of Christ.
Back to them.
To guide them and lead them.
What is the means of the fruit of the Spirit? What does that mean?
It's the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit.
All right. And in the sense of it being controlled, all right, control over the Spirit, then the fruit comes after. What is the, is it sevenfold fruit? Love.
Nine.
Love. Joy. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness,
faith, meekness,
temperance. Against such there's no law. ninefold fruit of being controlled, that's walking after the Spirit, and no condemnation to walk after the Spirit of God.
The walking would be continual?
Yes, it would be continual. Continue to walk after the...
Continually walk?
Yes, that's right, continue to walk, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And practical righteousness can be fulfilled in us. But spiritually and positional righteousness, immediately upon trusting Christ as Savior, we have a positional righteous standing before God without any problems or questions. Any other thoughts on verse 4? All right, verse number 5. What about they that are after the flesh? What is true of the lives of Christians that are after the flesh? Question that?
We mind the things of the flesh.
We mind the things of the flesh. And what about those that Christians that are after the Spirit?
The things of the Spirit.
Mind the things of the Spirit. And so God wants us to mind the things of the Spirit, not the flesh. And verse 6, what does this carnally mean? Carnally.
Fleshly.
Fleshly, that's what it means. What is to be carnally minded? What does God consider that to be?
Death.
Death. And death is no life. Well, there's death, there's no life.
Spiritual death.
Spiritual death, that's right. Spiritual death. What about spiritual mind? What is that?
Life and peace.
Life and peace. What does spiritually minded mean? Spiritually minded.
Controlled by the Lord and the Word of God.
Yes, and controlled probably by God the Holy Spirit. Spiritually minded, wanting to trust the Lord, be led by Him, and walking in His power. Life and peace. Our eternal life is ours when we trust Christ and are genuinely saved. But life to the full, even while we're here, in a practical way, is also in peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what?
Peace
with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we'll stop right here at verse number 6. We'll pick it up, Lord willing, next Thursday. But do you have any other comments or questions on either chapter 7 or chapter 8? All right, if not, let's close with a word of prayer. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for Paul, his writing of the chapter 7, talking about the two natures. And chapter 8, the victory and no condemnation of those of us who are in Christ. We thank Thee for the privilege of serving Thee. We know that the flesh is among us and in us. And we ask Thee, Lord, that Thou wouldst guide us to live to please Thee, to walk not after our flesh, but after Thy Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives within us, that we may have victory over this wickedness that's in us, recognizing that it's there, but asking Thee to help us to bring fruit into our lives, the fruit of the Spirit of God, all nine parts of that powerful influence of our Holy Spirit indwelling within us. Guide us and direct us, bring us back safely on the Lord's Day, and guide and bless the services that we have upon us. Help Pastor Dan as he teaches his class tomorrow. And may it be a blessing to those that are here. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen.